Welcome to day 158. We are up to Perek Zayin, Mishnah Vav. Now, our Mishnah is going to talk about different sorts of plants and what their status is vis-a-vis Shemitah. Now, as is often the case, when the Mishnah names different types of produce and plants, it does so, of course, in Mishnah Hebrew, and it's not always exactly clear how to translate them all. And the Mefarshim and the various English translations do their best to suggest translations, but they often differ from one another also. So we're going to do our best to be as thorough as possible. Says Mishnah Vav. Havered, that's an easy one, a rose. Vahakofer, either a cypress, or perhaps clove, what many of us use for besamim during Havdalah. Vahaktaf, which is the sap of some sort of fragrant tree, perhaps a balsam tree. Vahalotem, which is either a stone pine or another wild flower that grows outside Yerushalayim, or perhaps lotus. In all of those cases, yesh lahem shvis, vildemeyem shvis. They are all subject to the halachos of Shemitah. You have to treat them with the full holiness of Shemitah and all of the halachos that apply. And if you were to exchange it, of course, the money would have to be treated in that same way. So the question is, what's the chiddush here? Meaning, what's the Mishnah teaching us? Why would we have thought otherwise? So all four of these are actually fragrant plants. And on the surface, they would not meet any of the criteria that we said that would make something subject to the shvis. They're not food for people, not food for animals, and they're not plants that produce dyes. And still, despite that, the Mishnah says they still have kedusha shvis. So the question is, why? So I've seen two approaches in the Mefarshim. One approach is that even though they're only fragrances and not generally used for food, sometimes they're added to food in order to add a little bit of flavor. And because they're sometimes used in food, that's enough to consider it food for people, and therefore it would be considered, it would have kedusha shvius. The second possibility is that simply the fact that they are perfumes, the fact that they're fragrances themselves, puts it under the category of dyes. Perhaps one way of saying it is that whatever dyes are visually, I guess fragrances are to the sense of smell. So that would be included also in one of the criteria of what makes something a subject to kedusha shvius. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ein l'ktaf shvius, that third one, which was the sap from the fragrant tree, perhaps the balsam tree, that would not have the status of shvius because the b'nei she'eino pri, because it doesn't come from any fruit, it just comes from a branch. And a branch, if the branch itself isn't food, or the branch itself either for food, for people or for animals, then it doesn't have the status of shvius. And there's a little bit of Torah as to why that should be true, but we'll assume now that branches do not have the status of shvius, and therefore the sap doesn't really come from a fruit at all. It comes from something that is generally not edible, is not used, and therefore does not have the status of kedusha shvius. But the general principle is clear, and that is that these fragrant plants can still be susceptible to shvius, still be subject to shvius, because either they're sometimes used to flavor food, or because the category fragrance itself is part of the criteria of dyes, which would be subject to the kedusha shvius. That is Mishnah Vav. Now Mishnah Zayin. For Mishnah Zayin, we just need to remind ourselves that food during Shemitah, of course, can be eaten. It needs to be treated with all of the halachas of Shemitah, but of course you're allowed to eat it. But once the time for biur passes and you didn't do biur, remember, biur is when a type of produce is no longer found in the field, and therefore you have to, at that point, you have to take that sort of produce, remove it from your house and make it ownerless. So once the time for biur passes and you didn't do biur, then you are not allowed to eat that produce anymore. So with that in mind, our Mishnah is going to discuss what happens when Shemitah produce mixes with other sorts of produce. Says Mishnah Zayin, Vered Chadash, a new Vered of the seventh year, meaning a rose of the seventh year, new meaning the time for beer hasn't yet passed, right? It's still at the beginning, so to say, of the seventh year, so it has Kedusha Shvius, but you have not had to do beer yet. Shekavsho B'Shemen Yashem, that is soaking in oil of the sixth year. It gives a little flavor of the rose. It's soaking in oil of the sixth year, which is totally fine. So what do you have to do? Yelakate as a Vered. All you have to do is remove the rose from that oil, and it's perfectly fine because the iser, the prohibition of that rose hasn't yet set in because the time for biur hasn't passed. And therefore, all you have to do is remove the rose from the oil and the oil is perfectly fine. We're going to see in a moment, it still might have the status of kedusha shvius. You might still have to, if it got flavor from that rose, you might still have to treat the oil with kedusha shvius, but you're allowed to eat it. That's the point. Continues the Mishnah, v'yashan b'chadash, if it's an older rose, meaning to say that it's a rose in which biur did already pass and you didn't do biur and it is soaking in oil of the eighth year, then chayev biur. Then you're not allowed to use that that oil because it got the flavor of something that biur passed and you didn't do biur to. So that's prohibited to eat. And therefore, the oil is also prohibited to eat and it needs to be destroyed. Similarly, charuvim chadashim, shekvashan b'yayin yashan. If you have new kara, meaning kara from the beginning of the seventh year, biur had not yet passed, and it was soaking in wine from the sixth year, and then, but the Mishnah doesn't say, and then you let it sit there until the time of biur comes. So now the chara of the karab is usher because you didn't do biur with the karab, or v'yishanim b'chadash, or if it's a karab that from the beginning, the time of biur already passed, and it was soaking in wine from the eighth year, in both of those cases, chayavim b'biur, you would have to destroy the wine because it got flavor from the karab, and the karab had the time for biur already passed, and you didn't do biur, and therefore not only is the karab usher, but anything that it gives flavor to is also usher, needs to be destroyed. And now the Mishnah is going to discuss, well, how much needs to be mixed in order for to make the entire thing problematic. Says the Mishnah, zeh haklal, this is the general rule, kol shehu b'no sein tam chayiv levayer, anytime something that biur passed and you do not do biur to something and therefore it is prohibited, anytime that's mixed in with something else and it's no sein tam, it gives flavor to the other thing, that is enough to make the entire mixture problematic and you have to destroy the entire thing. When is that true? Min b'she'eno mino, when it's two different types of food mixed together. That's what our Mishnah was talking about. That's the examples that it gave. Roses inside oil or carob inside wine, that's when you would need enough to be able to give a flavor. But min b'mino, if it's the same thing, if it's wine with wine, right? Usser wine into regular wine or usser oil into regular oil, then kol shehu, then it's any amount, even a drop of oil that is usser because you didn't do biur, and it's mixed in with other oil, the entirety of it is usher. And that's probably, the Mefarshim say, it's very strict. It's probably because of how important the halacha of biur is. But in general, if it's two different sorts of produce, then you need enough to be able to give flavor one into the other. What's the amount, by the way? We generally say by kashrus, that's 1/60. So if there's one part of the usher, the biurless food, the food that you didn't do biur to, that's prohibited. If there's one part to 60 parts of the permitted stuff, or more than 1/60, then that is enough to give flavor, and therefore it would be problematic. Now the Mishnah is going to just repeat that principle. It's not exactly clear why it's repeating it. The Mefarshim asked these questions. It's not exactly clear what their answers are. And the way that the Bartanura says that it doesn't really, it creates other problems. But the simple explanation is that it's simply recapitulating that rule in a different way. Says the Mishnah, Shvi'is oseres kol shehu b'mina. When it comes to the halachos of Shvi'is, specifically biur, it makes it usher kol shehu b'mina, any amount makes it usher when it is a similar two things that are together of the same type, meaning oil with oil, wine with wine, or other examples. Bishalob amina, when it's two different types of things, then it's benosein time. Then it's only when it gives over flavor. Again, that same principle repeated. Okay, that is the end of Perek Zayin, and we will start Perek Ches, the eighth Perek, tomorrow.